You're listening to the Raptors Rapture Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Raptors Rapture Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. Today, guess what we're talking? We're talking Raptors, and we've got a special guest on the show today. Not just a friend of the show, but a friend of mine, Dana Ryan. Dana, what's going on, man?
It's an absolute honor to be on this show with you, my friend as well. So I'm just happy to be here, and I'm always ready to talk some basketball, especially Raptors.
So Dana is a contributor to RaptorsRapture.com, and he's also the co-host of the Relay podcast with another friend of ours, Eric Cruikshank. So shout out to you, E-Dog.
Man, Crook.
Yeah, so today, obviously, it's a big Raptors episode. And as per usual, we start the show with a little news segment. And to start that off, Kyle Lowry had a pretty damn good week this past week. Thursday, he was named to his sixth straight All-Star appearance coming off the bench as voted by his coaches. And he also became the franchise leader in assists. Now, Dana, I don't think this is necessarily going to be a hot take or anything, but like, Kyle Lowry is definitely the greatest Raptor of all time, right?
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier, I don't think he's the best player that's played for the Raptors. Obviously, Kawhi, his amazing season last year, but definitely the best Raptor of all time. Like you just said, passes Jose Calderon for most assists on the Raptors all time. It's not even close with three-point makes. I mean, he's more than double the next person behind him. And he's just one of the biggest reasons the Raptors have come this far. Of course, Masai Ujiri is a big part of that. But without Lowry, we're not coming this far. Watching the playoffs run last year and in that final series against Golden State, I couldn't see us winning without Kyle Lowry on that court. He brings a calmness, a presence. He's so defensively tough, and he's a bull out there. He's tough to get around. And also, he just has games where there's games where he's a little cold, and every player has that. But when he's on, Kyle Lowry's on. So I think for sure, without Kyle Lowry, this franchise would not be where we are right now. And I think he's deserving of being the best Raptor of all time.
Yeah, and I think like there's a difference between like greatest and like best, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Because like obviously Kawhi would be the best, and DeRozan is probably like at his peak was probably better than Kyle Lowry, and you know Chris Bosh at his peak as a Raptor is probably like a better player in terms of the talent wise and whatnot, but nobody has had like a greater impact, I think, on the Raptors. And like the Raptors have taken such a big identity from Kyle Lowry, like the grittiness and the like bulldog mentality that everyone kind of says that he plays with.
Well, when you're looking at this list ahead of him in points, you see Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, and DeMar DeRozan, and those are all great, but I don't think they bring that all-around game that Kyle Lowry brought. He does everything on the court, and a lot of things that you don't, I guess, notice as a fan that make that Raptors system run.
Yeah, and it seems like he's also been here, like, forever.
Oh,
he's,
my gosh,
like,
I know.
It, you know, like, he has obviously has the tenure here, but it feels like he's been a career Raptor, even though obviously he did have,
I think he's lost like 30 pounds over his career. Yeah. Came in a little chubby.
And it feels like he just has always been a Raptor, even though he did have the stint before coming to the Raptors with the Rockets and, you know, kind of what bounced around the league a little bit, not finding his identity, but then being here and like showing out and being the best that he's been. Obviously this is his sixth All-Star appearance. I think that's probably the most ever for like a Raptors player. I don't know the numbers on that, but he definitely is like, he just has been the best, and he's been the main guy throughout the most successful tenure of Raptors basketball, which I think is like shouldn't be understated.
And I mean, even when, as you said before, DeMar DeRozan was probably a better player, I think any true Raptors fans saw Kyle Lowry as the face of the franchise the entire time because he was that leader. I think DeMar DeRozan was a little quieter. When you see Lowry out there, he's always talking. He's always in the huddle giving his points. And I think he's just, he's almost like with LeBron, with the Lakers and every team he's been on, he's like another coach.
Yeah, yeah. And like the leadership there is huge. And being able to turn that into success. And like pretty much every year that he's been here, the team's gotten better and better. And then obviously they ended up winning the championship last year. And then they're showing out better than they have ever pretty much this season without Kawhi Leonard. And a big reason for that, despite being injured for a little bit, has been Kyle Lowry and how he's helped develop you know, the younger guys like a Terrence Davis or like the Fred Van Fleets or the Pascal Siakams. And you keep going down the list where you see like the impact that Kyle Lowry has had on these guys. And it's like, it's not just the on the court stuff that makes him the greatest. It's everything that you can put into a resume.
That's a good point. I mean, Fred Van Vliet coming into this team undrafted, I'm sure there was a lot of nerves. And I mean, you're filling a big role there, and you might not feel so comfortable coming to the lineup. Maybe you don't think you deserve it, but I'm sure Kyle Lowry got in his head, especially coming to those playoff series. You need somebody that's been there before. And although up until last year, Kyle Lowry hadn't had really much success getting far in the playoffs, just playing those games and even knowing what it's like to lose and bounce back is really important.
Yeah, so speaking of All-Star games, Nick Nurse is locked in to coaching Team Giannis at the All-Star game in Chicago with the Raptors win over the Pistons on Friday night.
Not as good.
Yeah. So, like, there's been a lot of talk on Twitter, whereas people think that Nick Nurse is going to tamper with Giannis and make sure that Giannis knows that the Raptors are going to want him come 2021. How far do you think he's going to go? Like, how far do you think he's going to take it? Is he going to do the Drake thing and, like, start rubbing Giannis' shoulders on the sideline?
I mean, he's going to have to watch it. I don't think he's going to – I think he's smart, and I don't think he'll go too much. I think the best thing he can do is just – be very nice to him and be very accepting and welcoming, and maybe say like, oh, you look amazing out there. That was awesome. Great dunk. You know, maybe that would look good in a Raptors jersey. Maybe not put it that far, but, yeah, definitely play him a lot of minutes, compliment him a lot, say his hair looks good, but just don't cross the line.
I think the thing that he's got to do, that would probably be the most impressive for Giannis is just like, have the team go out there and just like kick ass and like try to go out there and play as hard as possible and like do those like stupid 2-3 zones that Nick Nurse has been known to do, like not only this season but in the finals last year, and like have the team just go out and try to win every quarter and every minute and all that stuff, because you know Giannis is always one of those guys. It's like a Russell Westbrook where he like goes out and is always trying his hardest and always wants to win and all that kind of stuff. You know, obviously he doesn't play that many minutes, but when he's out there, he plays harder than anybody. And I think, you know, having Nick Nurse do that is probably the best way to get Giannis's attention. And, you know, maybe Giannis will be like, damn, if this guy's going to try this hard in the All-Star game, he's probably going to try even harder for the regular season and postseason.
Yeah, Nick Nurse just needs to start the game with like Kemba Walker and Trae Young, but then take them out within a minute, throw Kyle Lowry in, and then just say, just dish him lobs, pass him the ball, get that chemistry going, get it ready for next season, and then I think Giannis will understand the potential.
Yeah, if Giannis picks Lowry and Siakam in the All-Star draft thing, I think it's for sure that people are going to just start going nuts. Like, obviously, people have already been going nuts about the whole, like, Toronto and Giannis connection and whatnot. But if he picks either of them or both of them, it's just going to be absurd. Like, Raptors Twitter is going to go insane, and they're just going to have a field day with it.
They need to make sure Kyle Lowry's on that right there beside him. And, dish him lobs.
Yeah, if Nick Nurse can somehow force Giannis into a an All-Star Game MVP, it's only going to help the Raptors' cause. And, you know, Masai's probably going to be there as well with Nick Nurse. Somehow he'll find a way down onto the court, onto the bench, maybe push a sheriff or something. And, you know, Pascal Siakam, everyone loves that guy. And Kyle Lowry is going to probably, like you said, throw him a ton of lobs if they're on the same team. And if not, let him dunk on you, Pascal. Pascal, let him dunk on you. Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah, we don't want any charges. No charges. I know you love those charges, Kyle, but we don't need them in this game.
So going on to a little bit more of negative news here. Marc Gasol down again with another hamstring injury. They're saying that it's just day-to-day, but it's still a hamstring injury, which is what had him out for those 11, 12 games that he missed earlier in the season. It was a tight hamstring, a hamstring pull kind of thing. Should the Raptors be more careful with him this time? Obviously, missing 11 games, being careful, but should they be more careful with him this time and let him rest even longer than needed, especially with how well they've been playing?
Well, usually what I say when a player goes down for injury is it's not always a bad thing, I would say, especially when it's an older player. Sometimes if they go out for a month, although they're injured, that can be a time to rest, especially with an older player. And it's a very long season, 82 games. I know there's been talks of shortening the season, but sometimes that can be a nice time to break. But then the problem is when you're having those re-injuries, that's when you got to watch out. Because Marc Gasol, I mean, like we said, Kawhi's obviously not going to be in the lineup for the playoffs. So we need all those assets we need. And Marc Gasol was obviously a key player in that lineup, dishing the ball everywhere. It was just insane watching this guy striping those passes down the lanes. So I think they're going to have to be a lot more careful. I mean, we saw how successful it was with Kawhi Leonard. So they're just going to have to monitor him closely and make sure he's ready for playoffs. Because regular season, I mean, he's played enough games. He went to the finals last year. He knows what he needs to be doing and how he's going to be ready for the playoffs. So I think they just need to trust the process, give him the rest he needs, and don't rush him back too quick. But because I think he's already going to be ready for the playoffs when he comes back.
Yeah, and I think that his, like, if the Raptors weren't doing so well with all these injuries that they have had, maybe you do bring him back a little bit earlier. But they're second in the East. They're two games up on the Celtics, who are behind them, and they've pulled away even further from the rest of the pack after the Celtics and Heat, really. And, you know, if they weren't as doing as well as they are, even with the injuries and even with him out, then I think it'd be a no-brainer to bring him back and try to get the team back on track. But there's been no signs of slowing down, and they're on this 10-game winning streak, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, they've just been doing everything right this year, and I would say, especially with how long of a season that Marc Gasol had last year and this summer with, like, the World Cup and the finals for the first time ever.
Yeah, he never really had a break.
Yeah, he never really had a break except for those few weeks where he had the championship parades where he was just going oh berserk. My God.
I was at that parade. Yeah. He looked like he was having a time.
Yeah.
And Danny, he was going to go up for, I guess, a little speech, and Danny Green's like, do not give this guy the mic.
Yeah, it was probably a good call. But, like, I think, you know, there wasn't a lot of rest in the summer. This is, like you said, this is a really good time to rest. He obviously missed those 11 games earlier, but maybe they brought him back a little soon just because they were excited because everyone else was coming back. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to say, but I don't know. It could be bad to leave him and keep him cold and whatnot, and it might get him off his game, because we know that obviously his offense has been pretty trash this season in terms of, like, his shooting numbers and averaging like 5 or 6 points a game, and that's not really good per se for a guy, but you do know the impact that he has on the court regardless of that. So, I mean, you can go both ways. I would say I would lean towards the direction of maybe keep him out a little bit longer because, like you said, he was so key last year in the playoffs, and we see how good the team is offensively with him and defensively. So,
and in the end, it's going to be how he feels. Obviously, the doctors don't know how he's feeling, if he's ready, so he's going to make that determination that, hey, I'm ready to go, and he's played in the league so long that at this point, I'm sure he knows how his body feels and how ready he needs to be back on the court. So it's going to be interesting, but we pray that we don't have any more fallen soldiers, because it has been a tough season for injuries.
Yeah, so speaking of that, Norman Powell is said to have possibly dislocated his finger after the Raptors-Pistons game. They don't know. They still need to do a few tests on him, but not a great sign. No. Not a great sign.
Another player that was just out.
Yeah, not a great sign for the Raptors. He missed his 10 to 11 games earlier in the season with a dislocated shoulder, and obviously a finger is much different than a dislocated shoulder, but you see what's going on with Joel Embiid and how he dislocated his finger, and he's out for 2 weeks at least, and it could be longer than that.
Remember, Valanciunas last season was out for months.
And it's, you know, obviously we hope the best for a guy like that. We don't really need to talk about it because we don't know the significance of the injury and how long he's actually going to be out, but I think it's just safe to say, with how well Powell had been playing, you know, probably not the best thing for the Raptors for him to be out.
I'd rather him not have a dislocated finger. Let's put it that way.
So, moving on to our next topic, Terrence Davis is left off the Rising Stars game. Is he the biggest snub of, I don't even want to say just the Rising Stars game, but of all of All-Star Weekend?
Of all of All-Star Weekend, I would put Devin Booker ahead of Terrence Davis.
I agree.
I mean, I guess he's a snub, but there's some good players in both those lines for the US and world roster. I mean, It's he's probably going to be it next year if he's not this year. Like, it, what's the age? What's the age limit
for? It's just the first two
seasons. It's just the first two seasons. So, I mean, he might be in it next year. There's some players that I guess could have been left off the roster. But, I mean, looking at these, all like he's we got Miles Bridges, Wendell Carter Jr., Devontae Graham, Tyler Harrow. There's a lot of young players, Trey Young, that are having, like, excellent
but
seasons.
I think, but, like, the thing with it to me is, like, Trey Young shouldn't be a rising star because he is a star. He's not a rising star. He's an all-star already.
No, I totally agree with that. And, I mean, Zion Williamson is in this as well, even though he's only played,
what, it feels like four games. Like, yeah.
And to be fair, Terrence Davis has been a massive part of a Raptors really lineup that wasn't expected to be that good. So, snub, not snub. I mean, it's still the all-star game. I know the players care about a lot, but down the road on their career, I probably won't have that big of an impact. And I'm sure he'll improve his stats for next year and be back in that game. So yeah, I don't think it's the biggest snub of the whole All-Star weekend, but it's definitely probably the biggest snub of the Rising Stars.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the biggest snub of the Rising Stars. And, you know, I think it should be considered up there with the biggest snubs of the All-Star game, just because of, you know, all the different arguments that people have for, like, the Beals of the world and the Bookers who didn't make it, and I guess Zach LaVine as well. It's like, well, their team isn't very good, and they're having good stats, but on a really bad team. But, like, for this case, Terrence Davis is having relatively good stats, really good stats for a rookie, especially an undrafted rookie.
Especially playing on a good team.
On a really, really good team. The second best team in the East. And they're starting to pull away. Like, he's only averaging 7.2 points and 3.4 rebounds and just under 2 assists. But,
I mean, check Siakam stats in his first
right?
year.
Right. And, like, you know, and in his per 36 numbers are actually relatively good. 15.7 points, 4 assists, and 2 steals, and 7.5 rebounds. Like, those are really good per 36 minutes that, you know, as a rookie, just because he doesn't necessarily have the exact same. He doesn't have the same opportunity as a guy like PJ Washington does because he's on a trash team, or like Eric Pascal because he's on a trash team, Kendrick Nunn's on a good team. But, like, some of these guys shouldn't necessarily, I think, if you're going to take into consideration winning for an all-star team, you should also think about that for Rising Stars as well. And for, like, I'm not saying he should be in the Rookie of the Year conversation, but, like, that kind of stuff is important.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I think also with these other players obviously playing on American teams, I think it goes back to Raptors kind of being slept on. People don't watch as many Raptors games. And if you're going to watch a Raptors game, you're not paying attention to Terrence Davis, most likely, unless you're watching every game. You're looking at the Lowrys, the Siakams, the Powells, Van Vliet, all the big stars. So a player like Terrence Davis can kind of fall under the shadow of other players. But if you're watching every single one of Raptors games, you know how even right off the gate, he came out and he was playing excellent for the Raptors. So it's going to be really interesting. Like I said, he's going to have a great career, I'm sure, unless something goes bad. Cross your fingers that doesn't happen. But I'm sure he'll be in this game next year. And this is just more motivation to get back in the gym and, you know, get ready for playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's going to have the most impact on a really good team. So, like, you know, I think I'd rather have that than be in the stupid Rising Star Challenge. This guy's probably going
to get... Who knows? Maybe he would have gotten injured in the game, and there you go.
There you go. It's a bad thing to think about. knock on wood here. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with our talk of some on-the-court stuff. All right, so we are back, and now we're going to talk about the more on-court stuff rather than our news portion. So the Raptors, like you mentioned, Dana, are kind of being a slept-on team. They always have been. Right now, they have a 10-game winning streak going on. And like you said, with them being slept on, it feels like nobody is really talking about it. I remember earlier in the season when the Jazz kind of went on their first big winning streak of the year, they kind of went out and said that no one's talking about the Jazz and they're having this really big win streak. And the same thing's happening with the Raptors, except they're second best team in the East now. And
they also Utah.
And yeah, yeah.
Who cares?
And, you know, the weird thing about it is that they won the championship last year. And most of the time when a defending champion wins 10 straight games, the media goes nuts. And the media's like, all right, this team's repeating. This team's got the best team in the league, all this kind of stuff. Are they the quietest, like, elite team this year?
Definitely the lead sass. I mean, I feel like we keep repeating the same thing, but we just don't get the recognition deserved. It's like a player, like I said before, Terrence Davis. I mean, let me just read some of the numbers I have here. We're third best net rating, second best defensive rating. We're top five in 3-point shooting in the league and top five in percentage as well, which is, I mean, look back to, I don't know, under Dwayne Casey, 3-point shooting was one of our biggest problems. We could never get a bucket. We brought Damari Carroll in, and it was the biggest joke. He couldn't put anything down. Tried to guard LeBron James, and it just didn't work. I mean, Dennis Scott, I think we talked about this before the podcast before, Dennis Scott said the Raptors were not going to make the playoffs. They put the Bulls ahead of them to make the playoffs. And then Sam Mitchell, our boy, said that they were going to get the 8th seed. And
Sam Mitchell's a fraud.
What is this guy saying? Sam Mitchell's a fraud. What is this guy saying? And then he puts the Hawks 2 spots ahead of us in the playoffs, and they're last in the Eastern Conference. I don't want to hear any of it.
Yeah, it's...
He's watched us play before.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Because, like you said, like, they still don't get the respect they deserve. And I understand people thinking that maybe the Raptors would have a drop-off from last season. Naturally, right? You lose the best player, arguably the best player in the league. But for people to have said that they weren't going to make the playoffs is absolutely absurd.
But even look at the numbers with us when Kawhi wasn't playing.
17-5.
We never wavered.
I will never forget that number in my whole life, that record, 17-5 without Kawhi. Just because it shows, like, the Raptors are that good. And when we talk about, like, the other elite teams in the league, there's the Milwaukee Bucks who are getting, I mean, for what they're doing, they're maybe not getting the credit that they deserve, but they're still getting talked about. Giannis is going to win the MVP. The Lakers are literally everywhere in the entire universe right now, obviously with the Kobe Bryant news,
which
and stuff,
is understandable. But before that, it was
all Lakers this, Lakers that. The Clippers are being talked about more than anybody. The Denver Nuggets, and we talked about Utah not being talked about. It still feels like they're getting talked about 3 times more than the Raptors. The Houston Rockets are in 5th place in the West, and they're getting talked about. Yeah. Miami's being praised like nobody's business. The Celtics are being praised. People saying that they should maybe have 3 All-Stars. Miami Heat having 2 All-Stars. The Sixers are in 6th place in the Eastern Conference.
They will never stop talking about the Sixers.
And they will never stop talking about them. And it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, the Raptors have one of the top, you know, 12, 11 players in the league right now. He's probably going to be an all-NBA player come the end of the season. Why aren't you guys talking about him that much? It is absolutely insane. I feel like I've heard more news come out about, like, Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving, who have... A, Steph Curry hasn't played. B, Kyrie Irving's played like 20 games this year. I feel like I've heard more about them this season than Pascal Siakam, who obviously he missed time, but has been a killer this whole year.
I know. And even like we talked about the injury troubles. I mean, for what, a month, like Lowry and Ibaka were out. They came back, and then we had Powell, Marcus Gasol, and Siakam out. And then, of course, now Marcus Gasol back in, and then other players injured on top of that. But it seems like players goes down, but our system just works so well that the team doesn't waver. And we saw it with Kawhi. We're seeing it this year. We're just one of the most solid all around teams. And we don't even one player goes down and somebody else picks up the slack. So you guys need to start thinking about us more.
Yeah. Like I don't know what else they can do to be one of the most talked about teams in the league. Obviously, they're going to go to where the money lies, which is in the LAs and the Houston Rockets with James Harden and the Dallas Mavericks and all that kind of stuff. But it makes no sense why, I guess, because ESPN doesn't come to Toronto and doesn't come to Canada. Like, I guess that's probably the reason for them not talking about it. But for the real NBA fans, the guys who really understand what the hell is going on in the league have to be the ones who talk about the Raptors, because that's how people are going to... That's how people are going to realize what's going on. The people who just watch the YouTube clips and who just watch the ESPNs of the world are going to think that the Raptors are not trash, but they're not legit.
And all you're seeing is the Pascal Siakam highlights, so you're thinking we're one-dimensional just going through Pascal. But yeah, what I've heard is that it has to do with like the broadcasting. It's a bunch of money issues about broadcasting the Raptors, and that's why not as many people are seeing us. But, I mean, I'm sure all the commentators and the insiders in the NBA can realize it, and a lot of them do. I mean, Charles Barkley, he's been an advocate. You see,
for the Raptors,
Kendrick
yeah.
Perkins, you see him talking about the Raptors all the time. But like you said, the money goes to LA, and I don't know. It just seems like we've been talking about this for 6 years.
Yeah, and you like against even against the big market teams like the Lakers, they won nothing, right? They 1-0 against the Lakers this season. Really good team. Miami, they had two really, really good games against Miami. Philadelphia, they're 2-1 with some really solid performances there. The LA Clippers of the world, they're 0-2 against them, but they did have some really good games. Like the Houston, they're 0-1, but had a really, really good game against them as well. It's like how these guys aren't getting respected is a bit of a disappointment, but it's understandable. We've been here before, and you know, it once the playoffs come around is finally when, you know, the jump is going to start talking about the Raptors more.
And talking about that second best defensive rating, I'm pretty sure our first matchup against Kawhi, we limited him like 13 points. And then again, with LeBron, we limited him as well. So locking down those big starts is going to be extremely key in the playoffs, because that's who drives the teams all the way. So if you can lock down the other team's biggest player, forces the other players to step up, and if they can't do that, you have a way better chance of getting past a team in the series.
And you know, they're not necessarily the flashiest team, right? Like you talk about them having the second best defensive rating, which is a really good point, but then the counter argument for that is they've got the 15th best offense, which is where the league is kind of going right now. And when Pascal Siakam, who's not necessarily the flashiest player, is your best player and the most effective offensive guy on the team, and a guy like Kyle Lowry, who's that second guy, you're not really going to be looking at the best offensive team, or you know, the most exciting to watch. So you know, that's probably another factor for these people to come in, and a lot of these games are grinded out games with, you know, getting the other team under 100 points or under 110 points, which is the league average. And like, you know, it sucks that that's the way that the play that people who watch the NBA think about the game now, and it's all about offense, it's all about scoring, but it kind of seems like the way it is, right?
Yeah, well, you talk about not a very exciting game. It can be, obviously, but I mean, if you look at the Pistons game yesterday, Raptors had 66 points in the paint compared to Pistons 28. So, I mean, although they get the win and they do it effectively by driving the paint, which is usually a little more productive than just checking up shots from the three-point line like Houston was always doing. Yeah, it's obviously not the greatest to watch, but if it's working for you and Drummond's the only one that can really stop you in the paint, then you gotta hammer it. I mean, I'm pretty sure Svi Mykhaiuk,
yeah.
Anyways, he was on a Ibaka for part of the game. Like, what is this matchup?
Yeah. So the Raptors' record for like their longest win streak as a franchise is 11 games. They've done it twice. Do you think the Raptors this season can match that, or do you think they're able to pass them this season?
Well, I definitely think they can at least match it. I mean, they're facing
the Bulls
in that next game. I mean, anything can happen. I find more in the NBA, you find that when a really good team goes up against a really bad team. Yeah, it seems that the good team almost always come out. In hockey, it seems there's a little more like the chances of something sporadic happening are a little different. And the Bulls are just not, I mean, Dennis Scott might think, or who was it, Sam? Yeah, Dennis Scott might think they will beat them just because he puts them in the playoff. But
get out of my face, Dennis.
3 p.m. game. They're going to be rested. They're going to have a nice lunch, probably maybe a little nap. They'll be ready for the game. And then I think they'll definitely get that one. Pacers, it's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think Pacers are a beatable team. I mean, Raptors are second in the league ahead of them, and we've shown before that we can beat them. We're actually playing them back-to-back. But it's going to be an interesting game. I think Raptors can pull it through, and I'm going to say they are going to beat that record, because no better time to do it now, get our names back on the map, and I think this is one of the best teams, if not the best, probably other than last year's team, that we've ever had. And I think it would just cap off, obviously not the ending of the season, but just another milestone that leaves us the playoffs. That would be really nice to see.
Yeah, and you could really see them going for a big stretch here. Their next like really, really, really tough game is February 25th against the Bucks. They've got 8 games between now and then, which like they could go on an 18-game winning streak. I'm not saying that like, you know, they have a back-to-back mixed into that stretch there. So that's obviously a tough one to have happen. You play the Pacers, three times in there, who's obviously a good team with Oladipo coming back. They're on fire, and you know, the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving can always find a way to do something spectacular in any given game. So, I want to say that they can beat it. The Pacers, the timing of it is probably a difficult one for the Raptors, just because obviously Oladipo's back. They're gonna want to play him as much as possible and get him in the game as much as possible. But yeah, it'll be tough. Any win streak past 11 games is difficult.
Bulls are having injury troubles as well. They got Lauri Markkanen.
It's also the Bulls.
Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr. So they're worse enough, and now you have those players out. I would be very surprised if the Raptors do not come out with a win.
Yeah, so we mentioned the Pistons game a little bit and how the Raptors aren't getting respect. These two kind of go hand in hand together. Last night's game, obviously recording this on Saturday, last night's game against the Pistons was a bit of a highlight factory.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, Dana, which one of these highlights was better to you? Any of Norm's dunks on Drummond or all of them? Lowry dropping Svi Mykhailiuk? Or Fred VanVleet's Euro step? Which was your favorite highlight?
I'm going to say Lowry. I think we've seen this a lot, the dunks a lot from Norman Powell, at least recently, and he's on a big streak, and we've talked about him a lot, which is great, because he deserves it. He's on a hot streak. Fred VanVleet, he's got those nasty handles. I mean, he can do anything out there, but it's not very often you see Kyle Lowry drop somebody of that nature. It was so sweet, and he gets a lot of hate, Kyle Lowry does, but it's nice to see that he's still, although he's getting a little up there in age, he can still get on the highlight reel. So I'm going to say that, and because it made me giggle when I saw it. It was funny seeing him go, seeing Sven go down. So yeah, I'm going to say Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I usually say an ankle breaker. The only thing that I have against this one is that instead of, you didn't get to see the ball go through the basket. You know what I mean? Like, they called it a goaltending. So for that reason and that reason only, I'm gonna take him out of the race here. And I love a good Euro step, but I'm gonna go with Norm Powell's dunk, man. That was the only one where it was specifically the one late in the fourth quarter where he does the one hand hammer.
That was the best one.
That was the best dunk of them all, and I think that one in specific was like the only one where I really was like, oh Jesus! Like, I kind of just like screamed, and like, it was one of those moments where you're just like, wow. That was wild. I probably would have went Lowry if he actually was able to physically get the ball to go through the hoop. I know the 2 points are the same, but it didn't get to finish it the same way that you maybe would like to.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Kyle Lowry like break somebody's ankle so they fall.
Yeah.
When I think about it, I'm sure somebody can find a clip, but not in my memory.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he hadn't, but at the same time, like, it's Kyle Lowry. Yeah. I don't know. It's not
known for his, he's not Kyrie out there.
It's not usually his MO. So we're going to go back to talking about the Raptors and how they've had some success this season. They've started to pull away with the second seed in the Eastern Conference, and now they're starting to get more and more healthy. Obviously, we talked about Gasol going back down with an injury and whatnot, but for the most part, their core is there. They've got Ibaka, they've got Lowry, they've got Pascal Siakam, Powell, OG. You can go down the list of names that aren't Marc Gasol. The Raptors are finally healthy with those players. Is it to you a lock? Is the second seed to you a lock for the Toronto Raptors at this stage of the season?
I don't think it's a lock, just because it's still, although it's two games, I mean, Raptors are on a hot streak right now, but we've seen it so many times where you go on this big hot streak, but it's led by a big downfall. I mean, quickly to go back to hockey, I know we're not talking about that here, but the same thing happened with the Leafs. They went on a big streak, 10-point streak, and then they went on a massive slump where they cooled down. So I think, I'm not going to say it's a lock, but the Raptors are in a very good position. They're playing the best basketball of the season. But the Celtics and the Heat are both of them two games behind them. So all it takes is a little slide from the Raptors and a little and for the Celtics to heat up a little bit. So I'm not going to say it's a lock, but I would not be surprised if the Raptors could stick in that spot, especially if Marc Gasol can come back somewhat soon and get him back to the lineup. But other than that, I think it's not a lock, but I would not be surprised.
I'm locking it in.
You're locking it
in. That's all in, man. I think they know how important the second seed is in the Eastern Conference, having to go through Brooklyn or the Magic or something like that, rather than the Pacers, Sixers, Heat or Boston. Jesus. Or Boston there. And you know, not having to play the Bucks in the second round means a possible Eastern Conference Finals appearance, which I think would make them the biggest overachieving team in the league thus far. And I think that would be an insane feat for the Raptors, like, to come out and be that Eastern Conference Finals without Kawhi, and that, you know, anything can happen there.
So you don't think Boston knows they want to be in the second seed? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think they do, but I don't think they're good enough. I think both Boston and Miami are frauds. Boston has a hard schedule coming up the rest of the season. The Raptors are basically playing you and I out there for the most part of these
okay,
games.
Okay, they'd get dusted if I was out there, so good luck with that.
And then, you know, the Bucks. I know the Bucks are just going to stay put where they are. I think the Heat are... I don't think the Heat are too young. I think that Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero are obviously really good players, but they're going to slow down. They're going to hit the rookie wall.
Even Bam is young.
Bam, this is Bam's first actual good season, and I think he's probably going to hit a wall at some point. People are going to figure him out. Yeah, he made the All-Star team, but people are going to figure him out. And if they get into a losing slump, like if they lose four in a row, which is possible, what are the chances that Jimmy Butler goes berserk?
Or what if Butler goes down with an injury?
Right.
Hopefully he doesn't.
Yeah.
Never wish an injury upon somebody, but I mean, their team relies on Jimmy.
Yeah, and you haven't seen it. And obviously, like, Jimmy Butler hasn't been the star-studded Jimmy Butler that we've seen in past years, and, like, specifically thinking about the fourth quarters of Philadelphia games last year. But, like, he has been really good for the team, and he's been a really good player. But what if he is looking for a bigger role as the season goes on, and if they start to struggle, is he gonna blow up on them like he did the Timberwolves, like he did with the Bulls, like he did with the Sixers? It's kind of sounding like every team he goes to, something wrong happens. And I know this is probably one of the better fits that he's been in terms of like a system and a culture that they've built in Miami, but everything points to Jimmy Butler at some point going off and blowing up and something going wrong. And I don't know if that's this season or next season or the season after, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and you talk about that young team, and without playoff experience or even experience in late season games, it's about taking it to that next level, because it surely does. I mean, you saw Kawhi the first game off the bat, you're like, oh, this is a different human being. But even going back a few seasons, one, we had Jakob Poeltl, and the bench mob looked amazing during the regular season, and then went to the playoffs, and
it's
not the same team we're looking at here. So although they're great during the regular season, it's a different animal in the playoffs, and if you can't bring it to the next level, or you get a little nerves, because I guarantee you every young player going to the playoffs is going to have nerves, it could be the downfall of them.
Yeah, that's why I'm locking it in, man. I'm locking it in. I think
Celtics, I'm not too sure about, but we'll see.
I think they're all frauds. I think the Celtics are frauds. I think the Heat are frauds. The Sixers, they've already shown to be frauds. Like, I don't even need to say that.
Yeah.
I just don't know, man. Two games back from a really good team is always hard to make up. And like with how the Raptors are playing now, and how healthy they're getting, which obviously like isn't that healthy, but it's healthier than they've ever been all season. I think it's pretty obvious that the Raptors should stay up in that two range. And you know, if they don't, I don't see them falling beyond three, especially with defense, right? Like the second best defense in the league, that means they're in every game no matter what. So that's it for our on the ball talk, and we'll be back in just a minute with our predictions for next week and our favorite game from last week. So we're back. We're here to talk about our predictions for the week. But first, let's talk about last week's games for the Toronto Raptors. They had yet another perfect week. Obviously, if they have a 10-game winning streak going on, that's naturally speaking. Sunday, they beat the San Antonio Spurs. Tuesday, beat the Atlanta Hawks. Thursday, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Friday, they whooped the Detroit Pistons. So out of those four games, Dana, which one did you enjoy the most? Which were you most excited for going into the week?
I mean, more excited, I feel like we had a pretty easy lineup coming into this game, but I think the game I was most excited for was probably the Atlanta game. Our last two matchups against Atlanta, they were actually closer than they really should have been, which scared me a little bit because this is not a team we should have close games against. And also, Trae Young lit us up in both of them. I think he had 30 points in the first game, 42 in the next. But what I loved about this game was that, and we talked about how we're not a really that great of offensive team. And obviously Atlanta is not the best team, but we were able to put 130 points up. And although that's against an easy team, there's no way you're not getting any confidence out of that. And you're also able to limit Trae Young to under 20 points, which not many teams are able to do. One of the also big things was that Serge Ibaka really got going. You saw him getting 24 points and 10 rebounds. So pretty much anytime you see Ibaka get above 20 points, you can pretty much assume we won that game. But also they spread the love. I mean, Fred VanVleet, 19 points. Terrence Davis, the man we were talking about before, 15 points. That's the per 36. And no, but that was actually what he got. Okay, you got what I mean. And then Siakam, 24 points. So I think it's just a confidence booster, although it's against a good team. A bad team, not a good team. And you're able to limit Trae Young to under 20 points.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I'm going to go with the game against the Spurs on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, it was a very emotional game. And, you know, after hearing about, like, the passing of Kobe and having all the emotional support and whatnot from the fans that were there and from the players with one another was really good to see. Obviously, you don't want it under those circumstances, being as Kobe was a legend and a hero for a lot of the players that were playing that game. In fact, I didn't think that they should have played the games at the time. I'm pretty adamant about how they should have canceled them because I didn't think the league or the players really, any of them wanted to be there. And I didn't think that any, even reporters and media and stuff, didn't want to be there because of the close ties that a lot of people had with a Kobe Bryant and how idolized he was by everyone. But I'm going to go with that game just because it was an emotional one. It was probably one of the more meaningful games of the season for both teams. Both teams have a lot of players who idolized Kobe, like I said, and who were really hurt by that. And, you know, it probably wasn't the best game or most entertaining game under the circumstances, but, you know, the 24 second and 8 second violations were really cool to see. Obviously, like I said, under different circumstances it would have been a more happy game, but it was good. And obviously Pascal Siakam had an unbelievable first half, 30 points in the first half, only 5 in the second half, but still put up 35 points, which was a really big reason for why he won Player of the Week last week. And then Kyle Lowry, 16 points. You know, they didn't play extremely well, but it was one of those games where you just kind of like, you had to tune in because you kind of knew something special was happening during that moment. And a lot of eyeballs had to be on that game.
It was one of the most interesting games I've ever seen just because, as you said, maybe it wasn't very exciting, but like you could tell there was something in the air. Like you could tell those players were just not playing. Like there was something else on their mind. And I mean, obviously they talked about Kobe the entire time, which made sense, but there was just a feeling in the air that something wasn't right. And you really had to commend the players that that they still played a really good game and that they even played at all. I mean, I don't think Carmelo Anthony has even played yet. He's still mourning the loss, which is understandable. So
yeah, a lot of tough stuff going on for those guys who played. Obviously, like, we don't know the impact that Kobe had on them, but it's safe to say that it was a big one. So it was, you know, it was tough to watch them actually go out and play, but it was nice to see that they were able to be out there and to play with people that they love and people that they're able to kind of grieve with, which is probably, if maybe not, I don't want to say the best way to do things, but at least they're with people who they know and they love and they respect and they have played basketball with forever, who they're able to kind of grieve with together, who are all going through the same thing. So maybe it was a little bit therapeutic, maybe it wasn't. So we're going to move on to the next week, and they've got four games until we're going to podcast next Sunday afternoon, just before the Super Bowl. They're going to be playing the Chicago Bulls at home. They're going to be playing the Pacers in Toronto on Wednesday. Then Friday, they go out to Indiana to play the Pacers. And then Saturday night, they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets in Toronto. So which of those four games are you most excited for?
Going to have to go with that Pacers game. We talked about it. Raptors with the opportunity to secure that longest winning streak in franchise history with 12. As we talked before, the Bulls shouldn't be too much of a test. I can't see us coming out of that with a loss. So this should be the deciding game. Like you said, Oladipo's back, so that's going to make it even more exciting. Because if you're going to win a game to make the 12-game streak, you don't want to beat a team like the Suns or somebody where it's, you want to have some pride in that game. They have a lot of players that are having good seasons, obviously, like Brogdon, Sabonis, TJ Warren. And now that Oladipo's back, he can make his impact on this lineup. And they're also just a good team in the standings. I mean, they're in the fifth place right now. It doesn't look like at this point they'd have to play extremely well to catch up to the Raptors in that second seed. But, I mean, maybe they fall back 9 games and we play them in the playoffs, but I can't see that happening. So it's probably not going to be a playoff matchup, but it's definitely important for that milestone. And like I said, it's a good team to break that streak with.
Yeah, I like the Pacers game as well, just because it'll be the first time they're playing the Pacers with Oladipo, so it's just another one of those tests that you can have against one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. It's kind of a benchmark. Are we better than them? Can we beat them when they're full strength and we're full strength and all that kind of stuff? So I'm going to go with the Pacers. How do you think they end this four games off? I think they go 4-0, 3-1, 2-2.
Ooh, let's see. So we got the Bulls. That's a win. I think, so you're saying the next four games?
Yeah.
I think we go, 3-1. I think we get that first win off the Pacers, and then I think the Pacers might get us with that second game. I think Oladipo maybe gets his feet back, has some time to recollect his thoughts, and then they might take us in that game, because like we said, it's still a good team. And then that Nets game, I don't like the Nets. I think they're way too coming into the season, how overhyped they were, it made me want to hurl. So anytime we can beat the Brooklyn Nets, I'm not mad about it. So I'm going to say we go 3-1.
So with this being Super Bowl weekend, mm-hmm. obviously this isn't a football podcast, but who is your pick for winning the NFL's illustrious Super Bowl?
Well, Eric Cruikshank, my co-host on the other podcast, has been bandwagoning Mahomes so hard since he has entered the league, and that means he's now a Chiefs fan. So I've pretty much we work together, so there's a TV at our work, so we'll go and we'll watch all the football games because we don't do much, I guess, at work. And pretty much every game we've seen with the Chiefs, I cheer for the other team. So I'm just going to cheer for San Francisco just because I don't want Eric to be happy.
That's morbid. Yeah, I've got the Niners as well. I put a couple dollars on them.
Oh, did you?
Do you have a pick for Finals MVP? Or Finals MVP, Super Bowl MVP?
Ooh, well,
I guess if it's going to be the Niners who win, it's probably going to be Jimmy G.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just go with that then.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah, I don't really know any other players on the Niners.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Chiefs win, but let's go with the 49ers.
49ers. All right, so that is it for us on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can head over to RaptorsRapture.com for daily articles. Every single game, we have a post-game thing. We do some pregame stuff for most games, opinions, analysis, news, all that kind of stuff you can find at RaptorsRapture.com. As always, rate, review, subscribe to this podcast. Let us know your feelings. Follow us on Twitter at RaptorsRapture. follow me on Twitter at @H_Surplus. And Dana, my man, where can they find you?
Yeah, my Twitter's just getting started up. So I literally just started it the other day because my other one got deactivated because I forgot the password. So Twitter, it's DanaRyan61. Instagram's my main one, DanaRyan61 as well. So, I mean, you can get me there. And, yeah, thank you for having me, Hunter.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. As always, go Raptors.